Well, welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Earlier in the show, we talked with the superintendent of Somerville High School, Michael Merrill, and now we're going to transition over to Sonora High School, and we're joined on the telephone by the superintendent, Ed Pelfrey. Superintendent Pelfrey, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, BJ.
You know, I'll start with the same question to you as we kick things off. You know, how are things going so far this new school year?
Well, it's been challenging, but good. It's great to have all our students on campus getting in-person instruction from day one. Of course, we've got our California Department of Health guidelines to follow for face coverings indoors. And that's obviously challenging. And we've had a number of students that have had positive tests. And we've had to quarantine quite a few students, but it looks like we're on the way out of that.
Have there been any changes with the quarantine protocols so far this school year?
The only changes have been because we have more students on campus, they're closer together, and that's caused more quarantines. So that's been more challenging. But not other than that.
So what's kind of the status with all the extracurricular activities and the sports for this year?
Well, we are running all of our sports. Just all of our sports are required to test at least once a week or 72 hours before an event or a contest. So we're testing all of our sports, but so far we haven't had many canceled on account of COVIDs or quarantines.
You know, what's your observation when it comes to the students on campus? How are they dealing with everything?
I think they're dealing with all of this very well. You know, there's a lot of positive attitude. We've started some new programs on campus this year that I think have made a difference. They've been challenging to get rolling, but I think it's meeting the needs of kids. Last year, there was a grant called the Expanded Learning Opportunities Grant that came down from the state. And it was a plan to provide supplemental instruction and support for social emotional well-being of students. We built that grant, and the first thing we did with it was we extended summer school and made it in person, brought on more teachers, and because being online was a struggle for a lot of our students, particularly students who struggle anyway. So we were able to bring in those students during the summer for in-person instruction. We had 580 classes passed for 2,900 credits towards graduation, which was a big piece of positive news for our students. And then we built a plan. You know, we looked at how are we going to intervene with students that need extra help. And we don't want to pull them out of electives. At past schools that I've been at, that's been what the answer's been, is that you have to pull kids out of electives to get them the intervention they need in math and English. And we all know that electives are one of the main reasons that students stay engaged in school. So instead, we worked with the staff and built what's called a flex period into the day, which is a period right after fourth period. It's 44 minutes long. We reduced each class period by 8 minutes to build this flex period. And during the flex period, students attend a class referred to as a session based on identified needs that the teacher has identified, or a session that meets the student's self-identified needs. The students then go to that flex period for 44 minutes and get extra help. And this is a place where we can do enrichment, where we can do intervention for specific skills, or students can get academic help or extra support they need in general from their teachers. And then we're working to do universal screenings of all our students to see where they are as far as math and English, considering particularly that we've got our freshmen and sophomore haven't been on campus much. So we want to see where they are, and then we can provide them very specific help during that flex period. So I think that's been a big piece of what's going on. And then also to help them, students on campus socially and emotionally, we've added two mentors to our campus that do small group and individual mentoring and therapist services as well throughout the year.
So adding more socially emotional or SEL, are you finding that to be beneficial for the students?
You know, we're really just getting it off the ground, but it is meeting the needs of those individual students that we knew were having issues. And I think it's going to grow in its success throughout the year. But I think the other thing that social emotionally that I think is important is getting students engaged. And we know for a lot of our students that that means engagement in electives, particularly CTE courses, career technology education courses. And so we've added some things in that area as well. We do pretty well in that area. The state has a career and college readiness indicator, and 58% of our graduates last year met that, and that far exceeds the other schools in the Motherlode. And that's been because we have robust CTE courses and a strong partnership with Columbia College. And so this year we're able to add 8 semester courses that are called CCAP, and that's College Career Access Pathway courses. So we've added auto and welding, certified nursing assistant courses, fire science courses, emergency medical services courses, and we also have a college guidance and sports psychology course that we've added. And then about 80 of our students take middle college classes where they're dually enrolled at Columbia and at Sonora High.
That's great to hear. You know, what are some of the other earlier CTE offerings that Sonora High has had in the past?
Well, you know, we are coming back. Fire science was here quite a while before I got here, and CNA was here before. So we are replacing those, but the auto and also auto and welding were as well. So we're cooperating with the college to bring those courses in so that students have access not only to those classes, but they also receive college credit and move on their way to certifications. We also have our cosmetology course, which has always been strong. And we have photography, and we have culinary arts, and we have computer sciences as well.
You know, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing high school education in general right now?
Well, I think obviously it's keeping students at school and healthy, and that social emotional support that they all need. That we lost a little bit of the socialization that happens. So when you study behavioral problems or students who are not being successful academically, those two things often tend to go together. Sometimes, you know, you can debate it, which one's the chicken and which one's the egg, but students who struggle academically tend to do worse behaviorally and vice versa. And so we want to try and do what we can to make sure students are having academic success, and that increases their behavioral success. But I think as we look at the data, most juniors and seniors, we don't have any of those behavioral, nearly as many of the behavioral issues. And that's because they have, they've lived at the school, they've made the adult connections that make such a huge difference. They've built relationships built on trust and respect with those adults. And that allows them to feel comfortable, feel at home, and feel cared about, and to believe that they can be successful. The challenge with having students who haven't been on campus for the most part for 18 months coming to school is that now we've got a large group of students that we need to build those relationships with. The flex period, which is a smaller group most times for most teachers to work with students, and that students are choosing to be with those teachers, I think that's an important part of this. And our teachers are really aware that it's building relationships that's going to make the difference as we move forward.
You know, for incoming freshmen at Sonora High this year, you know, what type of advice would you give to them to fully take advantage of the high school experience?
Well, I think, you know, it's the same advice we always give, which is to try to find your niche, whether that be in the band, whether that be in, oh, and one of the important CTE avenues I was just going to mention was FFA, getting involved with AG, finding that place where it's more than just coming to school for math and English, math, English, science, and social studies. Those are all very important, but there's a smaller group of students are motivated by just those courses. Generally, you need something else, athletics, music, drama, or one of our CTE courses to draw students in. So I think involvement in those activities is what's important.
What kind of enrollment trends have you noticed in recent years at Sonora High School? Has it been increasing, decreasing, or staying level?
Well, it has been decreasing for a number of years. Since about 1995 was the peak, and it's been declining. But this year we saw quite a spike that we didn't predict. You know, we had the same number of students coming through eighth grade, but we had a spike of about 60 to 80 students entering the district this fall.
Any idea as to why there was such an increase?
You know, it could be that more students moved into the county than were expected. You know, we did have a lot of home sales, so that could be it. It could be students returning from other forms of independent study or charter schools.
You know, as the new school year is now underway, any changes in the leadership team of note?
You know, this is the first full year that Karen Sells will be the principal here at Sonora High School. And Roy Moreland chose to come down and be her associate principal, and he'd been the principal until last November at the alternative ed site. And Robert Maven has returned to the district. He was here for over 20 years as a special education director and special education teacher. And he returned from working for the county to be our new special education director and alternative education principal.
You know, leading up to COVID, I remember there was a lot of talk about, you know, the historic dome, what's going to happen with that, and the Wildcat Ranch as well. Has any decisions been made recently in regards to either of those properties?
Yes. Last year, our 7-Eleven committee on surplusing the dome property concluded its work and gave their recommendation to the board. No action has been taken as far as surplus or sale of the dome properties, but that is something that we'll be looking at in the coming year. At the ranch, Cooper Kessel has been leading our ranch committee, and we're working there to get a pole barn built and the necessary facilities and water to allow our students to participate in FFA projects out there. And that has also been, we've been doing some clearing and fire suppression work with Sean Crook and Sasha Farkas have been great in donating their time and effort and energy to that project.
Very good. And the fall sports season, is everything moving along pretty smoothly at Sonora High School?
They are. You know, football has been playing and we've been having good crowds here when we've been able to play on campus. Volleyball has been moving along. Our cross-country team and our water polo teams are participating. We did have some great numbers where we have two runners. Aiden Dibble is the number 13 ranked cross-country runner in the 3 mile in the state, followed by a freshman, Broen Holman, who's 38th in the state, but he is currently the fastest freshman in the 3 mile in the nation.
Yeah, definitely some fast runners here locally. That's great to hear. You know, we've got just a few minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Anything else we didn't talk about or anything else new this school year that's worth noting?
Well, you know, we're coming into homecoming. Homecoming is the week of September 27th through October 1st. And the administration, we've been working with our associate student body and their class advisors to build celebrations that will meet the COVID mitigation standards set by the Tuolumne County Public Health Office. There are some traditional events that don't meet these COVID requirements without weekly testing. And we just don't have the capacity to do any more testing at this time. But so we're looking at alternatives and we've given those to the ASB. We're excited about getting a full list of the activities they've chosen to do. So unfortunately we won't be able to do a night rally or a parade or an indoor rally, but we'll be able to do a day rally instead of the night rally. And will students still have the opportunity to build floats to be on display at the football game at halftime and at the Friday rally. We'll still have our homecoming court and their escorts on the field, socially distanced, for our Friday night homecoming game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the ASB and their advisors will have chosen for the activities for homecoming week.
And with the changes with COVID with students, I imagine that's been difficult. How about the staff? How have the staff been adapting to all the different things that have been popping up?
Well, the staff's been great, and I got to say, last year, and staff on all levels, last year, you know, our teachers were teaching three different groups, students who were in front of them, students who would be in front of them tomorrow, and the students who would be at home all year. Our maintenance was cleaning buildings and setting up for distance learning. Food service was providing not just food for students, but food for entire families, and transportation was constantly changing. They delivered technology to students. They delivered food to students, and they called parents when students weren't showing up for their online classes. So our teachers this year are working really hard to provide both instruction for the students who are in person and the students who are on quarantine. And they've also been engaged in what's called PBIS, which is Positive Behavioral Intervention Supports. And we have a program called HERO that is a digital program that allows us to reward students who are doing the right thing. I think it was a big success last year for our, particularly for distance learning. We had 70% of our staff recognized over 92% of our students. And in the past, teachers would tell students they're doing a great job, and that is a huge piece of what's going on. And they get grades to tell them they're doing well. But sometimes students need that extra motivation right now and something that's tangible. And we worked last year so that students could get snacks and gift cards from Amazon, Mohardeen, Deo, and the Bagel Bin. And as opposed to having where several hundred kids might have been recognized in a year, last year those students were recognized 114,000 times for doing the right thing. That's for doing assignments, checking in on time, and just being respectful and meeting our expectations. And at Sonora High, the expectations are to be accountable, respectful, and engaged. And we try to reward students who are doing that with Hero Points.
Superintendent Pelfrey, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for coming on and give us an update on everything Sonora High School.
I appreciate it. Thank you, BJ.
Again, we thank Sonora Superintendent Ed Pelfrey and earlier Michael Merrill, Superintendent at Somerville. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.